Just a little curiosity about what the weather is like, internal weather. Whether you're complaining about the weather or accepting it, just like we do the outer weather. If you have a few minutes for any comments or questions about the instructions or anything you've noticed, you're noticing in your practice, sitting or walking, just a few minutes. Please. When you say that you're dependent on the breath to stay in the present moment, tell me more what you mean by that. So in other words, you're trying to keep yourself from having thoughts of the future? Stop that. I would say invite the thoughts of the future. Just notice them. Just don't extend them. Because once you notice that you're thinking about the future, you're no longer thinking about the future. You're noticing that's a future thought. And that it's already liberated. You're already free. That in you that, well, I'll just, language doesn't quite capture it, but the knowing of the future is not the future. That's present. Future is just an idea that arises in present time. So, as an idea that arises in present time, it's just like a sound that arises in present time and is known. Now, when you get lost in that fantasy of the future and you don't know that you're thinking of the future, while you're carried along by a stream of thoughts and mindfulness isn't rising up to notice that, nothing you can do. So, no problem. Other than to, at that moment that mindfulness rises and say, oh, the future thoughts, notices that, that's a time to celebrate. And at that moment, you don't need to keep yourself in the present. You're already present. But and as a way of supporting your getting used to and stabilizing your experience and getting to know more the breadth and depth of what it means to be present, you can anchor your attention in the breath, body, sound, whatever it is that's present. So don't think that you have to be married to the breath. It's a useful anchor. For many, some people, it's a source of a lot of tension. There's a tendency to get very tight around the breath, or the breath is associated with all kinds of psychological issues. So it may not be the best anchor for your attention. But the fact that you've even returned to the breath means that you've been present from the moment that you realized that you had wandered. You've made an intention to reconnect with your primary. That whole process is part of present time. So everything is, anything that you can notice is present. So kind of de-stress around and try not to keep the thoughts out. The thoughts are to our mind as a sound is to the ear. It's a sense experience, not a problem. The only problem is just being lost in them, and that's out of our control. Except for when we realize. Does that make sense or no? Now, many people would give you a completely different answer, but please. There's often a physical corollary to thinking, but a feeling tone, pleasant or unpleasant. It's felt in the body. Sometimes it's just you can know a thought is pleasant and not have it register a lot in your body. It doesn't. But there's usually some little physical corollary. But I don't think it's so essential that you make that connection. But I think that it can be useful to notice that some thoughts are pleasant. And once you recognize a thought is pleasant, stop grabbing at it. Once you notice the thought is unpleasant, just see, unpleasant thought, then you stop trying to push it away. It's just an unpleasant thought. So it's just, the key ingredient is the mindful attention. That's the liberating force to be able to make that shift from being simply carried along by the thinking to noticing it, relating to it instead of from it. So whether you catch all these different nuances of pleasant, unpleasant, or whether it has a physical sensation associated, there's a whole process of discovery. You can discover a lot of different things about the relationship of our body and thinking and that whole interaction and emotions. But what's really essential, remember the Buddha, one of his famous suttas is a handful of leaves. He says, what I know is beyond the beyond, but what you actually need to be liberated is like a handful of leaves. You know, don't need to know that much. But essentially, you need to know that there is a path to relinquishing the tight fist of grasping and condemning, and that is fulfilled by knowing what you're doing when you're doing it, because you cannot be in a moment of noticing and creating suffering in the same instant. Don't believe me, though. Please. You have to speak up a little bit.
I had a teacher who said that when you get a thought, you just go thinking.
Yeah, just thinking. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, so that moment of noticing is the key in that is the moment of noticing. The thinking is just the mental label is just a way of saying it's okay that you're here and it's okay that you go. As my one of my teachers used to say, accept what comes and reject what goes. Poop, goodbye. Hello.
You know, some thoughts are very stubborn. They have an obsessive quality.
So the obsessive or repetitive quality of mind or thoughts, I'm really happy you named that because I often include that in the instructions. If you see a repeating theme, what you're usually getting at that moment is the secondhand version of the thoughts. The primary experience you're having is an underlying feeling that's like an engine for that thought. And so it's that moment of repetitive thought is actually an invitation to sense what the emotional tone is like, what the underlying weather is. And it's not always obvious, but if nothing more, then you'll bring your winds down into your body, you'll feel more settled. And often you'll discover that there's whatever that obsessive thought was had an engine of fear or ill will or confusion or something. And by allowing yourself to feel that ill will or confusion or fear, allowing yourself to actually feel it instead of think about it, often it becomes diffused. It just loses its power. But of course, we don't feel it in order for it to lose its power, but what we're feeling it in order to know what's actually the more primary experience that's happening. So the next time you have obsessive thoughts, just drop into your body. Oh, what's the weather like right now? I'm curious right now if you were to just kind of drop into your what we call our emotional centers, our throat, our heart center, solar plexus, belly. Just kind of hang out there. What's the weather like right now? You have a way of naming that? Is there any tension? And what's the felt experience like?
I guess I feel it's funny that word satisfaction comes to me. Just to be in contact with you about this problem feels to
Okay. So just sense what satisfying feels like. Oh, satisfying feels like this. Or if anyone else, you know, just check in what's the weather like, okay? And once you're hovering in the feeling of your emotional tone in your body, if you sense something, just don't try to do anything about it or undo it. Just sense what's there and see what happens all by itself. And now what's happening? And now what's happening? Just keep noticing. So it's, if you keep doing that, you're less likely to be tormented by obsessive thinking. Learn to be that emotionally articulate, please.
I'm just dropping into my experience of gratitude for this teaching.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful for your gratitude. That's very sweet. Last one, please.
I'm not sure if you see this. So what happens for me in the moment that I get below the obsessive thing? Below the obsessive thing.
I can't hear the...
Below.
Below what?
The obsessive thing.
Oh, the obsessive thing. Sorry, I couldn't hear that part. Split open. So it's an unpleasant open. Oh.
Complete vulnerability.
Is that pleasant or unpleasant or neither?
Neither pleasant. It's complete openness.
Okay, beautiful.
Which is lovely and vulnerability. And so the next thing that happens is probably terror. Because the question arises, how do you take this back out into the world when the things that have triggered the obsessive thinking in the first place are out there? So how does one hold the openness outside of this room, where it's much easier to hold that?
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for the question. I really appreciate the way you said it. And I just want to highlight, when we start to feel terror, it's never about actually what's happening. It's always anticipatory. It's always about what's next. So that it's often terror that generates a kind of fantasy of something terrible that will happen. And we come by it innocently based on something that may have happened in the past. But that gets projected, it's usually of the past projected on the imagined future. All happening in real time, though. So we haven't gone anywhere. Isn't that amazing? We've just been here the whole time. But our mind does this, and so we're kind of carried into these imagined worlds. So then it seems like, how can I do this when it's so scary? Because I will be open, too open, and then I can be harmed. And so that the anticipation makes it seem maybe harder than it actually is. So that's one thing. The second is that at first we don't actually trust that we have the capacity that we have both the intelligence and the self-care to know when to be vulnerable, when not to be, when to close down, when to open up. And part of the training of wisdom is to learn how to trust that you, when you leave the retreat, for example, you can be, while you're here, wide open. And you'll notice that if you stay aware, you'll know when it's safe to do that. And that there's something about, and again, I can only say from my own experience, there's something you can learn to trust that you will have the capacity to know when to be open and not. And the tendency is to create the out there as scary and then make ourselves feel really small and then react to it, when really you have every capacity to be able to just sit right in the middle of it. Right now I understand why you might not believe me, but I have a lot of confidence in you, because you're no different than the Buddha. You really are not. The Buddha just is, the only the difference between the Buddha is he had confidence in what, in awareness, and most of us don't. We still think, well, there's this little person that has to figure it out, and that's going to get squashed. But you are grand, and have lots of room for what you feel. I don't know if that made sense, but good luck. We can talk more later too. Okay, thank you for the questions, comments. And we have a period of now 25 minutes for walking. We'll have one more sitting before lunch. So 25 minutes for walking, and I'd like to meet with group O through Z, or they say Z in Canada? Just Z. No, just kidding. So O through. And again, this is optional, but I would love to check in with as many as possible. So please take care. Remember, seamless transition. Keep planting the seeds of trusting awareness with each step is equal. Each turn of door handle is equal. Each pull of the laces on your shoes, equal. And just see if you can carry that spirit. Okay, thank you.